He for sure is too. Amen. Prince of Peace and Lord of Glory. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we come together today in the name of Jesus, and if it wasn't for Him, there'd be no life in us. There'd be no joy in us. There'd be no thrill in us for the things of God. There'd be no worship in us, Father, because it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. We thank You, our Father, that You did send Jesus as Prince of Peace and Lord of Glory. And He is our Prince and He is our Lord. And we worship Him today out of a heart, our Father, that's washed clean by His shed blood. We thank You, Father, for Your invitation to come and reason together with You. And even though our sins were red and scarlet, that You have made us to be white as snow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship Your name, Jesus. We exalt and magnify You, our Father, because of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost that is within us. We allow Him to anoint worship and praise in our hearts for You today. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Blessed be Your name, Lord, forever and ever and ever. Blessed be Your name, Jesus. We magnify and worship and adore You, our Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Father, for the Lord's Day. Thank You, Lord, for the sure and certain knowledge that Jesus Christ is alive. Now, we know what lots of people think, that they think it's just a nice story, but we know the truth. He's alive. Praise God. He's alive. He's not dead anymore. He didn't just rise for those that were alive on that day. But He's risen to us. He's risen in our hearts. We've met the resurrected Jesus. We've encountered Him. We know He's alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And knowing He's alive, we know that He is victorious over death, over sin. He beat sin at its own game. He's victorious over sickness. He beat it at its own game. He's victorious over the devil. He beat him in his own lair, in his own throne room. He's victorious over the grave. He defeated it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And none of those things, therefore, can hold us because we're in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creature, and that's what we are. Brand new creatures, partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. We have Your nature and Your life in us, Lord. Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over us. Therefore, sickness shall not have dominion over us. Therefore, death shall not have dominion over us, and the grave shall not hold us. And most of all, Satan, you'll have no dominion over us. You'll not destroy us. You'll not torment us. You'll not hinder us in doing the work that God has called us to do. Thank You, our Father, that we can be one with Jesus, even as He prayed, where He said that they may all be one as You and I are one. And we thank You today, Father, for that sure and certain knowledge that we are one together today. We are one with the Lord Jesus, and we are one with You. We magnify and praise You today, our Father. Bless You with our lips and with our lives. And now, Father, as we've gathered in the church today, we've come to bring You praise, that which is due Your name. We've come to exalt and to honor You. We've come to lift up the name of Jesus. We've come also, Father, today with our needs. And we ask You, Lord, that as the service is progressing, that You would order that which occurs by the Holy Ghost. And allow Your Spirit, Father, we'll not limit You in any way. And we invite You to allow Your Holy Spirit to just flow through this place this morning and on the life and on the person of every individual who's gathered here. Even those, Father, who are here today and may not even know why they're here, or who are here and have a need and don't know it, or who are here and don't have the foggiest idea what's really going on here today, we pray, Father, that You supernaturally and sovereignly, because we've asked You to, We pray and invite you to touch each person. This, Father, we desire that every person who's here today will be touched in a special way by the Spirit of God. Minister your love and your power and your compassion to each and every one. Do that which pleases you, Father. Do that which will benefit and edify the people of God. Feed us today upon your word, that we might be nourished in the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus Christ is alive? That's what's in my heart this morning, that he's alive, that he's real, and that he's victorious over death, sin, sickness, hell, the grave, Satan, circumstances, and all the rest of it. Glory to God. James, would you come now, please? Morning that have not met Jesus as Savior and Lord. And there'll be an opportunity for you this morning to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. The Lord ministers in my spirit that there are going to be several to receive Christ this morning. I just feel it in my spirit. Don't know who you are, but and I don't know if we'll know what you're doing this morning. That's not really important. What's important is that you know and that God knows. And so those of you that are here this morning that do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior or are not sure that you do, I want you to open up your ears. Catch everything that comes, because the Lord wants to minister to you especially today. If you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, or if you did perhaps many years ago, but you've walked away from him, and you're not really sure today what your spiritual condition is, and you'd like to believe that you're saved, and you'd like to believe that you've known Jesus as your Savior, and you'd like to believe that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, but on the inside of you, there's just kind of a nagging there that just you're not quite absolutely sure. And you just don't feel totally and completely comfortable with your relationship with God. I want you to open your ears today and listen, because God wants to minister to you, and he's going to touch several of you who have open hearts and are ready to receive his love today. Isn't praising God wonderful? Amen. Amen. Praise is comely to the saints. It beautifies the saints of God. It edifies the saints and it beautifies the saints. Glory to God.
We were supposed to sing this morning. We thought we already knew what it was to be. And at the last minute, the Lord instructed us otherwise. So we didn't want to do it in the natural. This is not the one that we wanted to do. You know, there was something else that we had in mind. But he kept telling us that this morning was to be a time of worship and praise. And so it's a song that you all know, and later on, you know, we want you to sing it with us. But right now we ask that you just listen in an attitude of worship and prayer and minister unto the Lord as we minister this song unto him and unto you.
Yeah. born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this.
His name.
wonderful hymn, isn't it? God's Word says that we ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking and making melody in our hearts and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All of those things are part of the worship of Almighty God. I'm going to ask the ushers if they will come now, please. We're going to worship God with our offerings and with our tithes. And you might wonder about my saying, worship the Lord. Why don't we take a collection? Well, we don't take a collection because God doesn't need a collection. He owns all the gold and silver and the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And He's not going to be impressed with a few paltry thousands of dollars. Amen? Now, that may be a lot of money for us, but it's just not going to do anything for Him as far as impressing Him any. You know, when you've already got it all, and somebody gives you a little bit of it back, you're not going to be too impressed with that. But we're going to worship God with the giving of our offerings in the same way that we worship Him with our singing and with our praise and with our uplifted hands. We're going to worship Him with our substance today. So you prepare that which God has called you to give today and get that ready. And ushers, if you'll come now, please, and receive the offerings of God. God's blessings be upon you as you give. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to thrill your heart out of the Word. Hallelujah. Now, you be prepared to get your thriller ministered to today. The book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. We begin to read this morning from the 31st verse. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that the Bible says that all Scripture is inspired by God. But it just seems like this is more inspired when you read it. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. It's all God's Word. But just some of it, and particularly at certain times, some of it seems to be more God's Word. And that's the way this passage of Scripture is. As I read this, it's just like word after word after word. It just sends thrill after thrill after thrill through me, word after word. Praise be unto God. Father, I ask You to open up this passage of Scripture for us today. Feed us, O God, today a good nourishing meal on the Word of God. We desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. We desire to be washed and cleansed today by the ministry of the spoken word of God. I pray, Father, that you would take this word and make it rhema, or alive in each one of our hearts, that we will see and feel and know the truth of what the apostle was speaking, not just intellectually or mentally giving assent to it, but deep down in our inner man, deep down in our innermost being, that we will take this spiritual nourishment, that we'll take these truths and allow them to dwell on the inside of us. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Minister to us today, our Father, through the word, more of your spirit and more of this wonderful eternal life that you have given us as a gift. Cause your spirit to be more real to us, to live big within us, and cause your life to be so full and so rich on the inside of us that it drives out everything that is not of you, everything that is not according to the nature of God. And we know that your nature is life. Therefore, the devil being opposite you, his nature is death. We don't want any of that. You said in your word that we are partakers of the divine nature. We are partakers of life, eternal life in Christ Jesus. We want that life so full, so rich. We want that life, Father, to so possess us, spirit and soul and body, that there's no room for spiritual death or any of its works. We invite you to use this word to further that end and that purpose. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look with me at the 31st verse. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you know that God is for you? Listen to me. God is for you. God is for you. He's not against you. He's for you. We'll say it again. Listen to this. God is for you. He is not against you. I was reading this passage of Scripture and that thing just jumped off the page at me. God is for me. He's for me. And I began to pray and ask the Lord, I said, "Lord, exactly what do you mean by that?" And he took me to the 118th Psalm. Now I know that even in many of our churches, unfortunately, and totally in the world, that our God has been painted and pictured as a heavenly spirit being that is against everybody on the face of the earth. He's the one that brings difficulty. He's the one that brings trials. He's the one that brings tragedy. He's the one that brings torment. He's the one that's waiting there with the proverbial great big heavenly club waiting to come down on anybody who doesn't do right. And that means he's coming down on everybody because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The world has painted our God as one with eyes, not only in the front, but in the back of his head, who doesn't sleep and never slumbers, always sees everything you're doing. He sees in every corner. He sees in every dirty place. He sees every thought. That part's true. And he's just waiting and hoping that we'll do something wrong so that he is justified in destroying us. Now be honest with me, is that what you've heard?
Most people that have not met God personally in the form of Jesus Christ still believe it. Still believe it contrary to what the Word of God said. Do you know this is God's words? These are His words. The Word of God. He says, I am for you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. He took me to the 118th Psalm, starting to read in the 5th verse. I called upon the Lord in distress. I was in difficulty and I was in trouble and I didn't know what to do, and I called upon the Lord. The enemy had surrounded me round about, and I was hemmed in and I was pressed in and distressed. And I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Now get this next verse. The Lord is on my side. That's what it means to when God says that He's for us, it means He's on our side. He's on our side, beloved. Against who? Against Satan and against anybody else who would harm, destroy, torment, or trouble in any way. God is on your side. I want you to say that now. I want you to say this with me. The Lord is on my side. Say that with me. The Lord is on my side. Say it again. The Lord is on my side. Do you feel like I feel? That thrills me to know that God is on my side. You heard it said that me and God make a majority. It doesn't matter who is arrayed against us. John said it a different way, 1 John 4, 4. He says, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Not only is He in us, but He's on our side. He is for us. Now, because of that, David is writing the psalm here, I'm assuming. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me anyway? God's for me. What can man do to me? The Lord taketh my part. Get that. The Lord taketh my part. I want you to say that with me. The Lord taketh my part. Say it once again. The Lord taketh my part. All right, now I want you to follow me. And you speak these words after me. God is for me. The Lord is on my side.
The Lord is on my side.
The Lord taketh my part.
The Lord taketh my part.
Does that do anything for you? That sends the Holy Ghost on the inside of me just going pitter 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 like that, just like a heartbeat. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore, I will see my desire upon them that hate me. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about. I was pressed in on every side, terribly distressed. Yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Why? Because I never have a second thought about whose side God's on. There's no confusion in my mind about whose side God's on. I know that when I'm in trouble, God's on my side. I know that when I'm in distress, God's on my side. I know that He's for me and He takes my part. Therefore, I know that I shall have the victory. Therefore, I know that I will overcome. Therefore, I know that my desire shall be seen upon my enemies, the devil and all of those principalities and powers that would come against me. Because there's absolutely no doubt in my mind whose side God's on. This is why many of us miss it, because we're not sure. We think maybe, well, we've done something wrong and God's against us. God is never against us. Now, he may be disciplining us, and he may be chastising us, and he may be requiring us to shape up, but he is never against us. You can say amen if you want to. Verse 12. They compassed me about like bees. You ever felt like that? Felt like you got in a beehive? Getting stung everywhere you turn, you're getting nailed. Ding, bing, 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 bing. It's like a bunch of bees. No peace. Distressed on every side. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Why? Because I know God's for me. Because I know even while they're stinging me, God's on my side, and I know I'm going to destroy them. I know I'm going to have the victory. I know that I'm going to overcome. Hallelujah. Absolutely no question. Absolutely no doubt. Verse 13, thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. Yes, that's right, devil. You did. You thrust sore at me over and over again. You kept pricking me and you kept jabbing at me so that I might fall. But bless God, the Lord helped me. So ha, ha, ha. See? Yeah, for a while there, you may have me convinced, you see, devil, that the Lord maybe not be on my side in this particular instance. That maybe the Lord's left me, but the Word of God says I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He's always for me. He's always on my side. He always takes my part. And beloved, that's true for you. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That's good news. That's good news. The Lord is my strength and my song. Why do you sing like you do? Hallelujah. Because God's for me. He's always on my side. He always takes my part. And he's become my salvation, my deliverance. He's become my healing. He's become my power. He's become everything that I need. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. Why? Because God's for us. He's on our side. And he taketh our part. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live. Go on, sting me, bees. God's on my side. God's on my side. I shall not die, but live. I'm going to have victory over you. I will see my desire upon you, my enemy, and I will live to declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. That's why I feel this morning. Hallelujah. Open the doors and let me in. I want to come to the presence of my God. I want to worship and exalt and praise and love him. Open them up. Here I come. God is for us. He's for us. He is for us. How do we know that? Sounds good, but how do we know it? That's how we know it. It's on the table in front of me. That's how we know it, right there. Let's go back to Romans again. What evidence do we have that God is really on our side? What evidence do we have that God really cares, that he gives a big flip? What evidence do we have that he really is taking our part? What assurance do we have? Yes, I know the Bible says it, but what evidence do we have? What do we have that can convince us that God is really on our side? Verse 32, very next verse. That's why it's in there. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for who? Us. All of us. Do you know, beloved, that God delivered up his son Jesus for this little girl right here? Right here. You know that God delivered up His own Son for this man right here. All of you. There's not a single person that's under the sound of my voice that's seated in this auditorium today or may hear this message later that God did not mean His sacrifice of Jesus to be for. It is for us all. A-L-L. If you're here today and you're still, the bees are still stinging you, the enemy is still compassed around you, you don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about victory. You think if you could just win one now and then, you'd be happy. I'm talking about a life filled with it. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. That's what I was talking about a bit ago. You see, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you haven't made Him the Lord of your life, you have not received the benefits of what God has already provided for you, you do it today. Do it right now, today. Open your heart. Say, I open the door of my heart and I ask Jesus to come in. I want the benefit of that. I want the Lord on my side. I want God for me. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, because of that, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What Paul is saying is, look, don't you see that if God wouldn't spare His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if He let Him die for us, He has already given all He has, then He would not hold back on the other things which we have need of. But He will give them to us all. Here's the word again, all. A-L-L. He will give it to us all. How? Freely. Freely. Free. You know what free is? You know what free is? Without any cost. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, the first couple of verses. Ho, ho, ho. That means that's not the jolly old fella. That means listen. Ho means listen. That's my father used to use that expression when he wanted to get my attention. He'd say, ho. Ho! Ho, everyone that thirsteth. That's who this is addressed to. Anybody who is thirsty. Come ye to the waters. Don't wait for the water to fall on you. Come to where the water is. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's what free is. Free is without price, without cost. It costs nothing materially. Wherefore, this is God's question. Wherefore or why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor, why do you work for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Quit running around in circles, but listen to what I'm telling you. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Fatness means you've got more than enough to eat. That's what happens when your body is fat. It means that you've eaten too much. You have more than enough to eat. Well, you can have a spiritual fatness too, and that's good. See, the bodily fat is not that good, but the spiritual fatness is, and we're enjoined in God's Word to enjoy that delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, that means listen, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant. I will make with an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. That's what Paul is talking about. Freely, 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 will God give us every other good thing, because He has already given us evidence through the sacrifice and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has already shown us that He means business. He has already shown us that He's for us. Let me take you back to Romans 8 again. Verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? That's trouble, trial, difficulty. Will that separate us from the love of Christ? No. How about distress? How about persecution? How about when you don't have enough to eat? Will famine separate you from the love of Christ? How about nakedness, when you don't have the right kind of clothes to wear, or any clothes? Will that separate you from God's love in Christ Jesus? No. Listen, do you believe, you know, in the garden, Adam and Eve didn't have any clothes on when they were first created. Did you know that? Do you believe God loved them? You see, clothes, beautiful clothes, or lack of same, have nothing to do with whether God's for you or not. That's the point he's trying to make. How about peril? How about danger? Will that separate us from the love of Christ? How about the sword? Somebody threatens you with death. Will that separate us from the love of Christ? No. In verse 37, what does Paul say? No. Nay. Nay. That's what no means. Nay. No. No. None of those things will separate us from the love of Christ. As a matter of fact, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. More. Now listen to this carefully. Now I want you to get a hold of this. We are more than conquerors. Now, a conqueror is one who wins a battle. Is that right? A conqueror is one that has a battle to fight and comes out the winner. Paul says we are already now, right now at this moment, more than winners. What does he mean by that? What does he mean that we are more than conquerors? I'm going to tell you what he means. Look with me in the Gospel of Luke, 11th chapter. Jesus said in the 20th verse, speaking to the crowd, he said, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." When a strong man, he's talking about the devil here, when a strong man armed, in other words, when he still has his weapons and he still has his armor, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. In other words, as long as the devil has strength, then he can look after his kingdom and keep it in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Now listen to me, saints. Jesus said that when one who is stronger, that's me, comes along and engages him in battle, comes upon him and overcomes him, and he said, that's me, I will take from him all of his armor wherein he used to trust, and when that's all done, I will take the spoil and I'll divide it to you. That's why we're more than conquerors, because Jesus Christ has already done the warfare. He's already done the battle. He has already defeated the enemy. He has taken from him everything that he had, and he's divided it to us. The conquering has already been done. What remaineth, beloved, is that we receive the love of God, that we walk in the love of God, that we believe in the love and the provision of God. God is for us. We're more than conquerors. And nothing, no thing, no person can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I find in my own spiritual life that I am looking for absolutes. I want black and white. I don't want any gray. I want truth that is always truth. I want certainty. The enemy is the author of confusion. The scripture says, God is not the author of confusion, but peace. Satan is the author of confusion, even within the church. Even within our own lives, he is the author of confusion. He's the one that produces it. And he produces it to keep us separated from the conquering spoils that Jesus has provided for us. He uses it to keep us separated, that we don't really know whether God's for us in this situation or not. We think, well, yes, he's for us over here, but he's not for us over here. He is against us here. And constantly we're fighting this battle to figure out whether God is really for us or not. Whether we're doing what God wants us to do or not. And we're working a lot. We live a lot of our life in gray. I praise God this morning. I can say to you, black is black and white is white. And the white that I give you today is God is for us. Always. Always. Well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. What if I'm sinning? God's not for me when I'm sinning, is he? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Most assuredly, he is. As a matter of fact, that's when he's really for you. That's when you need it. Yeah, but how do you know that, Pastor? Sounds real good. But I never heard that preached at my church. How do you know that? I read it in my Bible in Romans, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse. For God commendeth or exhibits his love towards us in that while we were, get this, yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is God for you while you're sinning? Yes, he is. Is he for your sin? No, he isn't. He hates sin. But he always loves you, and he's always for you. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter how far you're walking away from God or how close you're walking to him. God is for you in every one of your circumstances. God's on your side. He takes your part. While we were still sinners, God showed his love toward us in that Christ died. You know, if this didn't happen, if Christ had never gone to the cross, if his body had never been broken, if his blood had never been shed, we'd still be sinners, every one of us, without any grace to save. If God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? I guess I would ask you today, what else could he do to demonstrate his love? What else could he possibly do that would convince the unconvinced that he's for you, that he loves you? He's already done it all. He spared not his own son, but delivered him for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you for this assurance. We bless you for this absolute, certainty in a time when there is very little that's absolute. There are very few things that are absolute. Everything depends on situations or depends on the circumstances or depends on the people involved. We bless you today, our Father, that your love for us does not depend on any of those things. It depends on you. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know that your love for us and your care for us and your favor with us or upon us is absolute, will never ever change. We feel like Paul today. We are persuaded. We're convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from your love that you have already shared with us in Christ Jesus. As a church today, our Father, we pray for those that are here today who have not received Jesus as Savior and Lord, have not come to you by faith in Christ, have not received this wonderful covenant that you've made and the sure mercies that you promised David, have not been partakers of those things as we have, as we become Christians. As a church, Father, we pray for every man and woman and every boy and girl that is here today that has not made that commitment, that has not made Jesus Lord. We ask, Father, that your Spirit be loosed on each of those hearts. Satan, we bind you away from them right now in the name of Jesus. We bind you away from every mind now in Jesus' name. We silence your voice. We silence your doubt and your fear and your unbelief in Jesus' name. We silence your tradition, which makes void the Word of God. We silence that in Jesus' name. We rebuke every thieving and robbing spirit in the name of Jesus. We loose your Holy Spirit, Father, to take the truth of these words and just minister them into the hearts. Cause life to spring from every seed. Now, if you are here this morning, as every eye is closed and every head is bowed, if you are here this morning and you may be one that the Lord is speaking to me about, the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, you want to be born again. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Or you want to renew your covenant with Him. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. As we come to the Lord's table, the Word of God says, through the lips of Jesus came these words, "If you do not eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me." That we must partake of Jesus Christ Himself in order to be a part of His body. We must receive Him into our own being. Then He said to those who were believers, He said, "I want you to, in remembrance of me, I want you to eat bread and I want you to drink this wine as a remembrance of what I've done for you." But the Bible instructs us not to take of this supper lightly, not to partake of the sacrament unless we know that we've received Jesus as Savior and made Him Lord of our life. For to do otherwise would be to make the sacrifice of Christ a sham. The Word of God says that we could eat and drink damnation unto ourselves. And so, if you're not born again, you do not want to partake of this table. It's for that reason that I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to invite Jesus into your life, to make Him Lord. And this is the way you do it. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Paul said, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that He's alive, and confess Him with your mouth that He is the Lord of your life, that you'll be saved. The Bible says nothing about emotion as a requirement for salvation. Only sincerity. The emotion will come later. You'll get that. Praise God. Now, if it is the desire of your heart today to receive Christ, this is what I want you to do. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. And I want you to lift your hand in the air, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. No one looking around. This is private between you and the Lord. Just go on, just lift your hand in the air. I see your hands. Yes. All right, as your hand is raised, I want you to leave it in the air. Every eye is closed. And I want you to say to the Lord, just you yourself, between you and the Lord, I want you to say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe that He is alive, that He died for my sins. Hallelujah. But He's resurrected now. I take Jesus as my Savior and as the Lord of my life. You just tell Him those things now. As the Lord of my life. Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord over all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. Thank you, Father, that I am now a child of God, born again of the Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you may lower your hands. Now those of you that prayed that prayer with me, if you meant business, you have a brand new life inside you. You are brand spanking new. Whether you felt anything or didn't, if you've invited Jesus to come into your heart and meant it, He has come. Praise the Lord. As we were praying, I shared with you concerning the table of the Lord. And let me just remind you that this is the Lord's table. It's not the water of life table. And if you're a Christian, if you know Jesus as your Savior, then He invites you through me to come and receive the remembrance of His sacrificial death for you and for me. For those of you that have children, please, if the child is born again and you know that the child knows Jesus, then I invite you to go on and lead the child in observing the sacrament. If you're not sure, or if the child doesn't know the Lord, has not been born again, Please restrain the child and do not allow the child to participate. It will not do him any good and it can be harmful, according to Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. I'm going to ask as we partake that as we take both the bread and the cup, if you will please hold the elements as they come to you and then we will partake together. Father, we set aside these elements now from the normal to the sacred use for which we intend them. We ask you, Lord, to make the administration of the supper meaningful to the children of God who are receiving it. We ask you, Jesus, that you'll manifest yourself, your very self, your flesh and your blood to us as we partake of the bread and of the juice. We ask, Father, to minister by your Spirit to our need. Father, as we are receiving the supper, we acknowledge that Jesus' body was broken for us, that we might be whole. I ask you, Father, to cause healing to come into bodies today as the bread is taken. We know that the blood of Jesus, our Father, was spilled to redeem us from sin and to wash it away. We ask, Father, that as the juice is drunk that sin would be washed away, that the blood of Jesus would be applied to every heart, every life, and every circumstance. Do a supernatural work, Father, in every person. In Jesus' name. Amen. On the night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread. And when he'd given his Father thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat, because this is my body which is broken for you."